Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with the one and only Tiffany Engen, who's starring in Kinky Boots at the Kennedy Center June 14th through July 10th. Tiffany, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm very excited.
Awesome. Where are you guys now on your tour?
We are currently in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So we're loving the summer weather is finally come out. So we're enjoying our time here. After Milwaukee, we head to New Haven, Connecticut. And then we're off to D.C. We're really looking forward to it because it's nice to be able to be in a place for more than a week so we can really unpack our bags and really explore and get out and see everything and do everything and eat everything. So we're really looking forward to the D.C. stop.
Yeah, just, take a load off and hang out here for a while. Have you ever performed at Kennedy Center before?
I have. I was there with Legally Blonde. I'm definitely excited to head back that way. I loved it the first time. I'm sure I'm going to love it even more the second time. It'll be great.
Definitely. Now, I guess before we dive in any further, let's say some of our listeners have been, let's pretend maybe there's a few that have been living under a rock and have never heard of Kinky Boots. give them the quick synopsis.
Kinky Boots won the Tony for Best Musical, and it is the story of a struggling shoe factory in Northampton, England. Charlie Price is our lead in this show, and Charlie has to go and take over the factory after his father passes away. And the factory has fallen on some hard times, so they really need to find a niche market to be catering their shoes to. And through a series of events, Charlie meets Lola, a London drag queen, and together they form this friendship, and kind of it sparks that light bulb moment that makes Charlie realize, well, maybe the niche market we should make shoes for are drag queens. So they start designing kinky boots, which end up saving the factory, and they learn a lot about each other throughout that journey, of course, as well.
Awesome. Yeah, I saw this a couple years ago on Broadway, and we'll never forget it. It was such a upbeat, fun, lavish little musical.
It's so fun. The music is by Cyndi Lauper, and it really is unlike any musical theater score I think we've ever heard before. She really kind of like tapped into all these different musical styles. I mean, of course, there's a huge pop influence musically that you can hear, but there's also great gospel influences, disco influences, rock and roll influences. She really pulled out all the stops, and it truly is one of the most exciting scores of any show.
Definitely. Do you have speaking of all those numbers or, genres and styles you mentioned in Lauper's score, do you have sort of one that you enjoy the most night in, night out? I mean, most people probably say, man, don't you get tired of doing it over and over? But is there
never.
One? Yeah, of course. That's a good answer. even though you love all of them, is there one that, you sort of look forward to every night?
I really love the finale number. It's called Raise You Up, and it's so exciting and vibrant, and it really is, such a high note to go out on after a night of theater. And there's this great moment in the song where we count the secret of success. And one of them is pursue the truth, learn something new, accept yourself and you'll accept others too, let love shine, let pride be your guide, and the best is you change the world when you change your mind. And I just love when Dawn says that final line of you change the world when you change your mind, and people just go nuts because it's such a celebratory moment and a real, moment of joy and truth. And it gives me goosebumps every night.
That's awesome. That's good that you still get those goosebumps. Hey, let's do something fun. Let's go. If you're game, let's go through those six steps, but apply them to your experience in this show playing Kinky Boots.
Okay.
So
sure.
Name the step, and then you can think for a second and tell me how performing in Kinky Boots has related to that.
Sure. Okay. Let's see. Okay. So pursue the truth. I think that's always the goal of every actor in this show, is not only to keep the show fresh but to keep the show truthful every night. So if you really are believing what you're saying, and you're really looking at your scene partner in the eye, like you really are sharing a moment of truth. And if you pursue that through the whole show, the show stays fresh and real and new and live every night.
You're good at this. You're good at this. All right, what's the next step?
Okay, let's see. Learn something new. Oh my gosh, I've learned so many new things working on this show. These musical styles, like you kind of operate in a different world when you're singing a different song that has, you know, gospel influences or, you know, rock and roll influences or disco influences, that you're using a different part of your voice. You're really kind of like leaning into this music rather than just singing the notes that are on the page. So learning how to approach every single song in this show in a different capacity was something totally new for me. So that was fun.
Awesome. Step three.
Let's see. Accept yourself and you'll accept others too. I think that is one of the biggest messages in this show, that, you know, this show is about acceptance and tolerance and patience and not judging a book by its cover. And I think that that is just a lesson that we learn, every day throughout life. And certainly, you know, in this current political climate, that the world would be a much more beautiful, harmonious place if everyone would just accept themselves and inherently accept others too.
Right.
Let love shine. I think if you lead with love, my goodness, you will be a much happier person. So approaching everything with an open heart and love, I think, is, a huge lesson. It's like being a kid again. That's how kids approach everything. And
yeah.
It's just, it's so simple and joyful and truthful. Let pride be your guide. Absolutely. I think everyone should, have a sense of pride in what they do and who they are. And we've all had our individual struggles, but to have pride in that journey and to know that you've come out of your struggle stronger than ever is something to be very prideful about. And then you change the world when you change your mind. I feel like we see this every night when we do the show, that we really are affecting people in a way that's really unexpected. And people tell us all the time, like, I wasn't sure what to think, and that this show has really opened their hearts and opened their minds to accept people for who they are and to lead with love and not with judgment, because judging a person doesn't say anything about who they are. It says a lot about who you are. So it's just a wonderful, positive show that I feel so fortunate to be a part of, that means so much to people and is affecting so many people across the country, that it feels like a true blessing.
Awesome. See, I wasn't even planning on doing that, but when you mentioned those six steps, it popped in my brain, and you nailed it. You crushed it out of the park. Good work.
Oh, thank you.
Awesome. Now, so we mentioned that the music, these awesome songs is Cyndi Lauper, the book is Harvey Fierstein. A lot of people know him too.
Yes.
What do you think about the book? Not necessarily the music, but the book itself, how the story is structured and the scenes and the dialogue. What do you think the strength there from Harvey?
The book is just sensational. I feel like Harvey has such a true gift of telling you exactly what you need to know to set up the narrative, to set up the story. But his words are always so honest and truthful, and he can, write these great fiery dialogue scenes where there's, where it's just like darts being thrown. And we have a couple of like great argument and great fight scenes where, it's just so sharp and staccato that it takes real finesse as a writer to formulate a very intelligent argument where, both sides are full of passion and inspiration. But I also think he writes such beautiful, quiet moments in the show. One of my favorites is a scene that takes place between Charlie and Lola, where Lola's describing how he grew up and how he felt like he never lived up to his father's expectation of him. And Charlie has dealt with the exact same issue with his father and not being able to live up to the expectations that their fathers had set for them. And that feeling, they then go into a song called My Father's Son. And it really is such a beautiful moment when you realize that we really are just the same people that can come from two opposite ends of, you know, experience have that common thread of we all want to live up to our parents' expectations. We all want to make the people around us proud. And that is just such a beautiful scene. And I don't think anyone could have crafted it any better or any, you know, any more truthful than Harvey did. He really is so special and such a unique writer. So that's just a bonus to have a great book. And then you put great songs on top of it. And then you have great choreography on top of it. It's like, you know,
perfect,
it's out of this world.
Perfect storm.
Yeah, totally.
Totally. Tell me about your Lola. About where, because I mean, you get to sort of play, I guess, the lead. But Lola is a showstopper, show stealer.
Yes.
You know, tell me about you know your working relationship with Lola.
Jay Harrison G is our Lola, and he is absolutely sensational. He really is a tour de force. He is beautiful in drag, I must say. It's a bit alarming, you know, being in a show, all of us girls that are in the show, being surrounded by these guys that dress up as, you know, Lola's angels, that's Lola's, you know, singers and dancers and entourage in his cabaret act. Being around these men that look so unbelievably beautiful in drag is a little, like, it's a little disheartening. I ask them for makeup tips more often than I care to admit. But they create such an energy in the show, and the angels really are, like, they carry this whole show. And Lola, to be here, to have an anchor like that in the show that is not only a powerhouse vocalist, a great actor, but also someone that is so honest and so truthful and organic and authentic and portraying this very difficult role, is awesome to watch every night, and awesome to watch him keep it so fresh and yet try new things each night. And vocally, you can tell that he is just living his life every night at 8 o'clock. Being able to be a part of that and work with someone like that is so inspiring. It's truly awesome.
What about all your guys' feet though? Like, those kinky boots have to be hard to dance in. Are you in pain at the end of the night?
But you know what? If they are, I can't, they never complain. I think everyone is just so happy to be here and so happy to be part of this show. It is pretty funny, though, when you first get your kinky boots in rehearsal, because every single person gets their own pair of kinky boots. And they take upwards of, I think they say something like 17 plus measurements of your foot and your instep and your toes and your ankles and your calves, and, you know, to make sure that these boots are completely custom made to fit your foot. They're the most comfortable of uncomfortable shoes. I think that's the best way to describe them, because they're made for you, but it does take a second, you know, to get used to dancing in boots that are that tall. But when they bring the boots for rehearsal, it's so funny to watch the guys especially put them on for the first time and try to walk, and it sort of is like Bambi on ice. And you're like, oh my gosh, now they get a taste of what us gals have to deal with. But, you know, practice, 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 and then all of a sudden they feel like a sneaker, you know, so you can dance and leap and turn and kick and do all that stuff in them. So
awesome. What about the director, choreographer? It was Jerry Mitchell on the original show. Is it all the same exact choreography? Is there a new director for the tour? What's the deal?
Yep, it is exactly the Broadway show on the road. So, yes, Jerry's choreography is so fun to do. It's so joy-filled that I feel like that really resonates with an audience. I mean, I feel like it's a impressive to watch, definitely, but there is something about the way that he choreographs that makes you kind of like, I think you're, as an audience member, you find your inner dancer inside, because you can't help but want to kind of, and we see people trying to pick up the choreography, especially for the finale number. They just kind of move, you know, bop around, and they're up on their feet, and it's just that infectious joy that only dance can bring. So his choreography is just stellar. So being able to do it night after night is super fun.
Awesome. I want to know a little bit more about you. Tiffany, where did Tiffany grow up? How did she get into performing?
Well, I grew up in the Midwest, in Minnesota. So I, from a very, you know, young age, found that I loved performing. I think, like, my first performance thing I ever did was in the second grade. I played a chicken, and I had one line, and it got a laugh, and I was hooked.
Do you remember the line?
Ever since. Yep. The line was, brock, 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 I do.
Awesome.
I took great pride in trying to figure out how to do a chicken noise.
What the heck kind of show? What show was that?
The Goose and the Golden Egg.
Oh, okay, okay. You were the chicken in the Goose and the Okay, cool. And then
the chicken, yeah.
So from
the pivotal role of the chicken. So I really felt like that experience kind of lit the way for me. So I, you know, grew up dancing and taking voice lessons and performing anywhere that there was a place to perform, even if it was just in the frozen food aisle of our local grocery.
That's a different kind of chicken.
Yeah, right? A tapping chicken. Because, you know, the frozen food aisle has great acoustics.
Oh, true, true. Surrounded by frozen poultry. There you go.
Exactly, you know.
Okay. So then I
knew I wanted to pursue musical theater, and I dreamt of being on Broadway. So when I moved to New York, I went to a musical theater conservatory, so I was studying musical theater every day, all day, and absolutely loving it.
Which one? What was the conservatory?
AMDA, the American Musical and Dramatic Academy.
Okay.
So I loved, you know, I loved being able to just immerse myself in all of that learning. And then, you know, luckily enough, very shortly after, I booked the Hairspray movie. Mm-hmm. And then went on to do Legally Blonde on Broadway, and then toured with Legally Blonde after that. I've been lucky enough to be a part of new original musicals as they've, you know, started their workshop and out-of-town tryout process. I did Rock of Ages just before joining Kinky Boots. I was in Rock of Ages in Las Vegas, and that was a trip. That was amazing.
Who'd you play in that?
I played, are you familiar with the show?
Oh, of course.
I played Regina.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
You know, we're not going to take it. And Dee Snider actually came to the show one time, too. I told him that was the most nervous I had ever been to sing your song with you sitting five rows away. But that's what I was doing right before Kinky Boots. And I've loved Kinky Boots since even before it came to Broadway. I was lucky enough to see kind of a final rehearsal that they did in a rehearsal space before they went and did their out-of-town tryout.
Whoa.
And it was just amazing that even in that setting with no sets, no costumes, no lighting, you could tell that you were really in the presence of something truly special and unique. I had never seen a show like this before. And from that moment, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to be a part of this at some point, somehow, some way. Even if it's just sweeping the floor, I want to be a part of it.
Kinky brooms.
So, kinky brooms. Yeah.
Do you remember what was the location, the rehearsal space that you saw it in?
Gosh, I think it was in the rehearsal space is at New 42, so it's on 42nd Street in Times Square.
Okay.
And they had been doing the rehearsal process there, and it was kind of their final showing before they were heading to the next step, which was an out-of-town tryout, and then they would eventually go to Broadway. So I've seen it on Broadway. I got to see the kickoff of the tour, which was actually in Las Vegas, and that tour, the original tour cast, was fantastic. I think the cast we have right now is so awesome as well, and it's a wonderful group to be touring the country with, for sure. Lots of, you know, fun personalities and people that like to go and explore every single city that we're in. So it really is truly special.
That's awesome. So just moving, take me chronologically real quick on this. So you see the rehearsal, then it leaves town and comes back and, you know, dominates Broadway and wins all these Tonys.
Yeah.
Then what was the process of you getting cast in this tour?
They were actually having auditions not far after the, around the 1 year mark of when the tour had initially gone out. And so I had heard that they were having auditions. And, so I, you know, familiarized myself with the audition material, and I flew to New York. I had, my first audition with them, and then I got a call back for the next day, came in, did the material again, and then I thought that was it. And shortly after, they said, we need you to come back one more time because, you know, with the success of Kinky Boots, there's a lot of other companies of Kinky Boots. And so not all of the creatives or decision makers could always be there for the auditions or callbacks. So there was a few other people that had not been able to attend those callbacks that needed to be able to just see, you know, one more time who was possibly in contention for these tracks that had opened up. So flew back to New York, you know, did my stuff again, and shortly after found out that I got it. And I just remember screaming and jumping up and down. I was so excited because this is truly a dream come true. The role of Lauren is so fun to play. It's so, I've never played a part like this before. I don't think there's any that has been written that is this, you know, fun and quirky and sincere, and, you know, it really is a dream role. So to be able to even, you know, work on this audition material, let alone book this job, has been such a highlight.
Yeah, definitely. Is there any of Tiffany in Lauren? Is there a little, what's sort of like, is there a personal end to that character for you?
For sure. I think there's a little bit of Lauren in every girl, especially, you know, when she starts realizing that she is starting to have feelings for Charlie. And she sings this great song called The History of Wrong Guys. And I think it's one of the songs that is the most quintessential Cyndi Lauper sounding when you first hear it.
Right.
People are often hit with that beat. They're like, oh, this sounds like a Cyndi Lauper song. But it's a great song where she's trying to, you know, admit that she hasn't had the best luck in the past with picking men. So she's nervous, of course, to start having these feelings for Charlie, but she ultimately can't help it because when you really fall hard, you just fall, you know?
Yeah.
And I think I can totally identify with that feeling of being nervous and excited and not sure if you can put yourself out there. So that song is always really fun to play. I feel like I'm, you know, singing from a page of my diary. I think a lot of girls feel that way too, that they're like, they'll come to the stage door and say, oh my gosh, I'm Lauren. I am so Lauren. And I, you know, I get it. I totally get it.
That's awesome. Singing from the diary. That's hilarious. Have you met Cyndi Lauper or Harvey Fierstein or
anything? I have.
I
have. Yes. They actually both got their stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. The day before we opened in Los Angeles.
Oh,
so
awesome.
I was able to be there for that because I actually sang History of Wrong Guys at their induction ceremony.
Wow, how cool is that?
It was so sweet and so fun and just awesome. I mean, I'm such a fan of hers anyway that, you know, to get to sing music that she wrote is out of this world.
When was this? How long ago was that?
Not that long ago. We were in L.A. in April. And their stars are right outside the Pantages Theater.
Wow.
That's cool. So that's really fun to be able to walk to work each night and be like, oh, hey, Cyndi. Hi, Harvey. There's your stars.
Well, there you go. Well, thanks so much, Tiffany. We really appreciate the time. We're looking forward. We can't wait to come see it. I mean, I saw it on Broadway, but it'll be cool to see it at the Kennedy Center, too.
Yes, we are so excited to be there. So I hope you enjoy it. We're certainly having a great time.
Definitely. And, you know, just in closing, let's say one of our listeners haven't seen it. What's, you know, they're listening in their car right now and they're saying, you know what, I heard a lot about this Kinky Boots, but I'm not sure. I'm on the fence. What's the final pitch for them to come? In summary.
The final pitch. Okay. I think Kinky Boots is overall a joy-filled, feel-good night of musical theater. And the score by Cyndi Lauper is outstanding. You have to hear it yourself. You have to hear it live. The story has a little bit of something for everybody. It's a story about fathers and sons. It's a story about acceptance and patience and tolerance and love. But mostly it's about, you know, accepting yourself. And I hope that you get tickets and come and see this amazing musical because you will not regret it. We promise you a great time.
Awesome. Well, Tiffany, I'm glad you got cast in Kinky Boots and not Kinky Brooms. We appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule. Everybody, come see Kinky Boots at Kennedy Center, June 14th through July 10th. Thanks, Tiffany.
Thank you.